Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great guest kicking off our statewide show here on Monday's Montana Talks. Retired Major General Paul Vallely lives in Big Fork, Montana, Flathead Valley. Retired two-star general, has worked in special operations. He held a top position at U.S. PACOM at Pacific Command. He's now the chairman of the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. But anyway, just got the latest email kind of update. I subscribed to his newsletter. Just got his latest newsletter, I think earlier this morning, or maybe it came out last night, where he is talking about how the U.S. Army is now begging soldiers to come back after they were forced out for not getting the COVID vaccine. You might remember we had a little bit of fun with that story on the show last week. In fact, for our friend Colton Belgrade, we had to play a special song for him. That's right. The Pentagon is now begging them to come back after kicking them to the curb over the COVID vaccine. So we're going to get the take from retired Major General Paul Vallely coming up here in just a second. Plus, he recently sent out a plan on, hey, here's what we need to do to secure our southern border. I believe he's calling it Operation Sinaloa. So a couple of big reasons why we wanted to get to General Vallely on the show this morning. And then he's got another plan regarding the political prisoners of January 6th. I haven't read this one yet, but he's going to talk about that much more here in just a second. And then we will open up the phone lines for you, anything and everything you want to talk about here on Monday's Montana Talks. Let's see. Before the break, did you guys see this? Did you see this during the Cat Grizz game on Saturday? I didn't see it when I was watching the game. I don't think any of the fans could see it because there was a fog that had settled over Washington Grizzlies Stadium. But yeah, during the Cat Grizz game, you couldn't see it above until probably about 3:45 in the afternoon. But the Montana Kymen, the University of Montana's school newspaper, reported that the anti-Israel activists in Missoula defaced the M above Washington Grizzlies Stadium during the middle of the Cat Grizz game. I mean, at least they didn't use the M on Mount Sentinel to spell out Hamas. But then again, that's who they were providing cover for. But but anyway, they basically turned the M above Washington Grizzly Stadium into a Palestinian flag. And the Kymen also noted how left-wing activists used the M sign to write impeach and F you Trump when President Trump visited Missoula back in 2018. Here's my question for these anti-Israel activists. Why don't they hold rallies to condemn the terrorist actions of the Palestinian leadership in Gaza? Why do they continue to provide cover for Hamas terrorists and yet claim to be peace activists when they're really just covering for terrorists?
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, you know, before my first military deployment overseas, I was just a butter bar lieutenant, and I was visiting some friends in the Flathead, and it was before I went on my first deployment over to Ramadi, Iraq, and a friend of mine said, hey, you got to meet, Major General Paul Vallely. This guy's incredible. And so it was just such an honor to get a chance to meet somebody like General Vallely before my first ever military deployment. Well, General Vallely, you
remember that.
Well, I know I remember it, and it was great advice that you gave me. It's an honor to have you back on the show here.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, you had 32 years in the military. Your last assignment was as deputy commander for U.S. Army Pacific. General, I don't know if you heard the song that I played on KJJR just a few minutes ago, but it's the band as Player, I believe, and the song was Baby Come Back. It was released in 1977. Where were you in 1977?
Oh, boy. I was commanding. commanding a brigade, I think, at that time. I was a colonel. I was a colonel then. Yeah, I was commanding a brigade.
Well, I had to play that song because it ties right in with this topic that you're writing about here. Okay, after they kicked all these soldiers to the curb and threatened others and punished others, now they're singing, "Baby, Come Back, I Was Wrong."
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
What's your take on this whole deal?
Oh, we have a bunch of these generals and admirals have gone so woke. We need to replace all of them. It's just horrible. They can't win a war. I don't have any confidence in them. That's for sure.
Yeah. Do you think are they going to be able to convince not only the troops that they kicked to the curb to come back, but are they going to be able to meet their recruitment goals? Or what do they need to do if they actually want to turn it around?
I don't think so. The parents don't even want their young men and women going into the military. The ones that were separated because of COVID, they're not going to go back in. They know what it's like in the military now. It's just the morale's down, readiness is down. It's not a good situation for America, that's for sure. And we've written a lot about that, by the way. We've gotten a lot of input from many of the officers, even, who have retired early, don't want to be part of it, and NCOs.
Yeah. What do you think? Why now? Why are they just now starting to kind of beg these soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines to come back? Is it because, you know, they're sensing the Pentagon is sensing a shift in the political winds in Washington coming up in 2024? Or is it that Joe Biden maybe has us on the brink of World War III and they're thinking we're going to need everybody we can get?
I think it's both those things, but they certainly surrender. In Afghanistan, they've lost confidence in our leaders to be able to command our soldiers. I think from that, we see how we're supporting some of these wars again, like Ukraine. And I just don't think they want to go back into this because they don't see us winning anything. And they don't want to be a part of that. So these young men and women aren't stupid, that's for sure. They read the news. They see what's going on.
Yeah, you mentioned the war in Ukraine, and as you full well know and have been writing about, we've got an invasion taking place on our own southern border right now. And you and I talked probably a couple years ago now about your plan to secure our southern border.
I wrote that for Trump. I wrote that for Trump, by the way.
Yeah. What do we need to do right now to secure our southern border?
Well, first of all, we've got to get our Defense Department, the generals and admirals, come up with an operational plan to take out the cartels. And we can do it with a special ops mission in about 7 days. That way we shut everything down, the money, the fentanyl coming across. We've got to go on the offense. We can't just play defense. We're not even playing defense well anymore, as you know, with the millions that have come across since Biden took over. This is a military operation that has to be conducted.
And some folks might say, well, don't we already have troops on the southern border right now? And from what I've heard, it's crazy because the cartels have such a base of operations now inside of America that they really are monitoring our folks down there.
Oh, absolutely. And they're a militarized force. They have better equipment, guns, communications equipment than the Mexican army has. They are a militarized force. And they're going to plan on continued invasion across our border. But, yeah, we have troops down there, but that's defense. Like in football, you have to go on the offense to win, and the offense is taking out the enemy.
Well, and even on the defense, what are the troops down there actually able to do? I mean, we've seen the way the Biden administration has gone in and ordered federal agents to tear down the barricades, to cut the barbed wire that Texas officials put in place to protect our southern border. And so if we're going to have troops on the southern border, are they actually going to be able to do the job to defend this country and go after the cartels?
No, just staying on the border. What they're doing down there, I haven't seen any reports of our military recently. It's mostly border patrol processing the people coming across. The military may be doing some surveillance, some reconnaissance of what's happening across the border, but our military's not doing very much. The National Guard, the governors could do a lot more as well. and they're not.
I know one of the main part of the strategy that you've talked about before is this lily pad strategy. So we'll talk about that. We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll talk more with retired Major General Paul Vallely joining us from Big Fork. Talk about what this lily pad strategy entails to try to secure our southern border in the midst of this invasion, the fentanyl that's flowing in and wreaking havoc here in Montana, fueling the youth gang violence that we're seeing. Fueling the rise in crime and deaths on our reservations and more. Back right after this.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you want to jump in on the conversation here with Major General Paul Vallely, give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a quick message on our Montana Talks app. Or if you got another topic that you want to call in and talk about, well, give it just a few minutes here, and starting at 9:40, we'll open up the phone lines. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. General Vallely, I know a few years ago I remember chatting with you about your operation, this lily pad strategy that you've proposed for our southern border. Talk a little bit more about that and how we can actually go on the offense against the Mexican drug cartels without a massive troop presence just sitting there on our southern border.
Well, the whole strategy behind this that I wrote several years ago, and I give it to President Trump again, is that just like a lily pad, it's a launch of a joint force. For example, if we were going to go into Sinaloa, take out the cartels, we would do a lily pad maybe out of Fort Hood, Texas, where we put together a special operations force, a ground force, and basically launch at 2 o'clock in the morning. We could do the same thing with any other targets in the Middle East or around the world where we don't need all these bases all the time. You identify the target, you identify the threat, then you put together that joint force of Air Force, Army, Navy to take out that target. And we certainly have that capability. But we have far too many troops spread across the world right now to be able to focus as a lily pad strategy would do.
You mentioned the other wars taking place all over the world or just other efforts taking place. I remember several years ago when, Syria was just kind of kicking up. And you had a very interesting take. Your argument was, hey, what we need to do, just like we got bogged down in Iraq and Afghanistan, we need to get the Russians bogged down into places like Syria, et cetera. But it seems like instead now the opposite has happened where Putin has figured out a way to get us bogged down and spending billions and billions of dollars in Ukraine. Anyway, kind of your take on how it seems Putin pulled that one on us, or maybe Xi Jinping figured out a way for both of us to end up getting bogged down in that part of the world.
Well, I think we have to understand Putin and Xi are playing a high game level of chess. We're playing a low game of checkers. And Putin will get his way in Ukraine. He'll continue to control under Russia the eastern part of Ukraine. He sent Zelensky. They're not getting the support that they have, especially from the European nations. So the Germans are putting in more ammunition and missiles helping them out. But we've actually decreased our inventory of weapons and ammunition, like 155-millimeter artillery shells, which we have to end up sending a lot of our, ammunition now over to Israel. So we have that going on. We're trying to support Ukraine. At the same time, we have to make sure our force is ready to go with enough equipment, ammunition, and so on. You know, we lost all of that equipment in Afghanistan, which to me was a treasonous event, aiding and abetting the enemy. And that's why part of the reason we wrote our new book called Invisible Treason in America.
Yeah, in fact, speaking of that book.
But anyhow, back to the cartels. We can take them down in 7 days. with an organized special operations mission. That's easy to do. We have overhead surveillance. We know exactly where they're located. We can cut off their routes of going in and out of the Sinaloa area. So this is an operation that can fully done. General Milley said, if you recall, he said the cartels, if you do that, General Valley, that's a police action. What police are going to take out the cartels? That's how stupid Milley was. Milley was more concerned about white rage. And as I said, the only white rage I ever saw was General Milley. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Kind of the infamous phone call to China remarks. Right. Donald J. Trump was president. You mentioned this new book that you've got out. Let's see, The Invisible Treason in America. And I think this ties in. You know, what was it? Last week we had these violent protesters fighting with police. There were six police officers injured. The entire Capitol Hill complex in Washington, D.C. was locked down because of these violent protests. You had a Democrat member of Congress say he was more scared last week in the midst of these pro-Hamas protests that were taking place than he was on January 6th. And I made the point that, like, for the left, January 6th is every day. Every day they commit these January 6th style types of mob actions and mob antics, and yet they're not held accountable for it. I think only one person was arrested, even though six officers were injured last week in these pro-Palestinian protests that took place. And then there was a female United States senator, a former senator, who was sexually assaulted. She came out publicly and said this, and yet her attacker is apparently going to get a weaker sentence than some of the people who didn't even commit a violent offense on January 6th.
Well, Aaron, we've dropped to such low levels of civility in this country, and that's why it's very important we get new leadership in Washington. That's why I'm backing President Trump. He's the only one I think that can restore order. There's so many things that have been happened since Obama, and Obama is one of the ones we quote in the treason book, guilty of treason, aiding and abetting the enemies of the world that he did. Same thing with Joe Biden, George Soros, and many others. One of the interesting things is, because they're not enforcing the laws, that you have some of our organizations now, like Department of Justice, CIA, FBI, they are in fact organizations that are committing treason against America. So we have all those things going on. And that's why the next 10 months there are going to be absolutely terrible in this country. But the sooner we get new leadership in, it's the only way we're going to turn this country around. It's going to take about 10 years to rebuild it.
You know, I thought it was pretty interesting. General Jack Keane, retired four-star, I believe. He was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. And you know, his remarks are, you know, I don't want to say that he holds back, but you know, he's very diplomatic in his words. But he said it straight up yesterday. He says he believes that China has gained access with cyber intrusion into America at a level never before seen in American history. He also believes that FBI counterintelligence is just completely overwhelmed right now. I mean, we talk about that. We talk about the invasion on our southern border, all the other conflicts all over the world. How much worse could things get in the next 10 months, potentially?
Well, as things get out of control, criminality, burglarizing, metro areas, urban areas that are where you have Target and all these other stores, it's out of control. And the only way we can discipline that is to re-support our police. And we've got to take action in these cities. I mean, they're just out of control. And I'd say it's going to take a long time to restore what's happened. Dismantling the Constitution. We have, people like Mayorkas who should be impeached. We have Biden who is mentally incompetent, leaving the country right now. He can't even put a sentence together. And they're concerned about his age. It's not his age, Jared. It's his mental cognitive ability to make decisions for America, and he can't do it. So that's going to continue to affect us in the next 10 months. And you know, the Democrats, the left-wing Democratic Party, the Communist Party, as I call them, are going to do everything again to steal the election as they did in 2020. In Chapter 3 of our book of Visible Treason in America, talks about Hammerin's scorecard, which was used, was passed on by Obama to the Chinese even, that could affect our computers and so on. So it's very important everybody gets that book on Amazon, because we really tell the story about Hammerin's scorecard in Chapter 3. We'll tell you what they have planned again for this upcoming election.
You know, kind of back to our southern border, you mentioned also the crime in our metro areas, the crime in our cities. Unfortunately, when we talk about crime in our cities, we're even talking about crime in our bigger towns here in Montana. I mean, the youth gang violence that is cropping up in Billings, Montana right now, the crime on our reservations. Heck, our friends on the reservations are being hit even harder by the Mexican drug cartel fentanyl that's flowing in right now. In fact, I talking with one of our friends several years ago who was on the legislature for the Crow tribe, he made the point that, yeah, that's why I'd like to see some of our tribes here in Montana file a lawsuit against the Biden administration over our southern border, because we have treaty obligations, to some of our reservations where our federal government is supposed to protect their borders too. Not only our shared border on the southern border and our northern border, but they have treaty obligations to protect tribal borders. And they are not doing that with this invasion of fentanyl.
No, they're not. But you know, Aaron, they don't care. They have an agenda, and they've been following that agenda for years to change America forever, as Obama said in his speech when he got elected. They want to tear down America. They don't want to abide by the Constitution, the fabric of America. That's what we have to put back together again. And in our other book, we talk about America's endgame for the 21st century, which came out earlier this year. That's also on Amazon. We talk about, in the first chapter, Aaron, we need a spiritual awakening in America. We've got to get back to honesty, trust, integrity. We've lost all of that. We've lost it in our school system. We've lost it in local governments. We have these errant DAs and mayors in these counties and cities that should be arrested.
An awakening that is needed, that is for sure. How can we have a free country without that underlying foundation? Retired Major General Paul Vallely, check out StandUpAmericaUS.org. StandUpAmericaUS.org for more of his updates and books. Great to have you on the phones from Big Fork. Thanks for being with us.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
Last week during the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, Alexis Taylor, USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs, told farm broadcasters that commodity trade doesn't just support the nation's farmers.
In 2021, U.S. agricultural exports supported more than 1.2 million jobs and generated nearly $190 billion in additional economic activity. That economic activity is not only critical to supporting the livelihoods of our farmers and ranchers, but the communities that they are living in. USDA is committed to opening new markets and reducing and eliminating trade barriers for U.S. producers.
But many farmers and ranchers say they're disappointed in the Biden administration and USDA's efforts to expand export markets over the last 3 years, but Taylor defended the administration, saying that opening and developing new markets takes a lot of time.
Market development does not happen overnight, and sometimes it can take decades of engagement. I often think about trade as like victory by inches, but we have already seen some results from the efforts that we have undertaken. A few others I wanted to highlight is after decades of work, we've been able to expand to full market access for potato exporters into Mexico. Also, in February of this year, I met with Vietnamese government officials as we finalize access for U.S. grapefruit to the Vietnamese market.
U.S. ag exports in fiscal year 23 were projected down $5.5 billion from the previous year. I'm Lane Nord.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, we've got the phone lines open right now. And so if you're one of those people that, hey, the phone lines are probably full, or, man, I've tried calling before, and the phone lines fill up so fast, and I'm busy. Well, now is the time to call in after our guest that we had on the first half. We've got some phone lines open for you, 294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well. All right, couple of Cat Grizz related stories for you here. First off, I'm interested in your reactions to this crazy story. The left wing anti-Israel activists defaced the M in Missoula during the Cat Grizz game. According to the Kymen, which is the University of Montana school newspaper, thick fog blocked the view of the M until about 3:45 p.m. So if you were in the stadium or watching the game, apparently you would not have seen the fact that some left-wing activists in Missoula turned the M into the Palestinian flag. Although the exact, this is from the Montana Kymen report by Christine Compton, I believe, is the author here. Yeah, Christine Compton is the author of this report. Although the exact people who did it are unconfirmed, an Instagram page called MT for Palestine took credit for the act. It claims 15 people helped unroll 9,000 square feet of butcher paper from the top of the M around noon. But because there was a fog that had set in during the game, you know, nobody in the stadium could see it. But according to this report in the Kymen, the fog had lifted around 3:45 in the afternoon, and about an hour later or so, university and staff had torn down the display. But they actually unrolled butcher paper that turned the M into the Palestinian flag. And again, this is my question, because here we go again. Here we have these left-wing anti-Israel protesters in Missoula. You remember about a month ago, just days after the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust, and Missoula had these out-of-state folks dressed up like masked-up neo-Nazis, and then some left-wing protesters. Both groups were protesting against Jews and protesting against Israel on the same day in Missoula. You had over 1,000 innocent people that were slaughtered by Palestinian terrorists. Entire Jewish families were gunned down in their homes. Oh, but these people describe themselves as peace activists. Well, why weren't these peace activists holding rallies to condemn the slaughtering of 1,400 people? To condemn the hostage taking of innocent men, women, and children? Oh, you weren't peaceful then. You didn't want to have a peace protest. Oh, but now you're a peaceful protester that's fighting with police in Washington, D.C., or that's propping up the Palestinian terrorists in the Gaza Strip with stunts like this. Yeah, why didn't these left-wing activists in Missoula hold rallies to condemn the terrorist actions of the Palestinian leadership in Gaza? That question still stands. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Let's see. We got a listener in Cardwell, Montana, on the phone lines right now. Tell me your name. I didn't get your name here on our chat bar. Who's this listening in Cardwell?
This is Questa.
Hey, Edwards. How you doing?
Good. I was calling because I would listen to your show all the time, and I've never really been brave enough to call in, but was refreshed to listen to the general talk this morning and for you to be bringing up a subject that's near and dear to me, because I was a commander in the reserves during this COVID debacle, and how horrified I was of how we treated our fully trained, fully qualified, especially our Army medics and some of those areas that are always in need, and process these smart young men and women out because they had questions about a very poorly designed vaccine that they suddenly said we have to have or we get kicked out. And I still don't see, I'm still in the service, I'm not in command anymore, thank God, but I still don't see the military, the Department of Defense, Congress doing anything to really turn around that woke mentality that they had during that COVID. And so I think that is going to be the number one way to start to bring back some of our smart youth is they turned away, you know, really smart enlistees.
Yeah.
At the projection platforms and at the AIT and all my high speed medics did not reenlist. They're like, I'm out. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And I can't blame them, you know.
No, it was unconscionable what was done to our service members. I remember talking with an Air Force family out of Livingston, Montana, active duty Air Force family. First off, thanks for your service, Cuesta, but active duty Air Force family, 18 years, this guy and his wife and their kids have been sacrificing deployment after deployment after deployment, serving this country. And here's where it gets even more interesting is he's gotten exemptions from other vaccines. Involving diseases that were actually much more of a threat than COVID was to younger, healthier people. He got an exemption to all those other things, but they would not give him an exemption to this one. And it was just it was a purge. They were trying to purge patriots who wanted to defend this country. It was so disgusting. But then you hit the nail on the head with all the other woke garbage that's been going on, the drag queen story hour events targeting kids, even on Malmstrom Air Force Base here in Montana. They have been using our military as a petri dish for their left-wing transgender social experiment project, basically, and advocacy.
Right. Well, and here in Montana alone, and I hate to say this on the air, but I'm going to, some of our medical providers who really tried to help these soldiers navigate the craziness of trying to get those exemptions are now being investigated for improper medical practice while they were involved in helping these soldiers fill out their paperwork. And mind you, medical providers had to do a counseling to each and every soldier as part of that exemption packet. As a commander, I spent hours and hours in my counselings and how I navigated and helped these soldiers with their exemption packets. Now, mind you, all that work probably shredded because it's no longer needed, but they're now investigating and putting pressure on these PAs and nurse practitioners that I am friends with, and it's disgusting.
That doesn't surprise me because I know for a fact that whether it was doctors in the VA system or medical professionals in the VA system or even in the economy, in the private sector, that they were intimidated and threatened into not signing paperwork to give exemptions for folks in the military. And
if our providers in the military did, now they're being investigated by the woke mob that are in leadership that decided they didn't like the stance that they took. And I just am, it's really sad, and it really makes me, and I tell you, they're spending a lot of time in the Sergeant Major Academy on what pronoun you use. That's the kind of money that our taxpayers are paying to train our leaders.
Yeah. Yeah, the she, her pronouns are going to be XI real quick, the rate we're going here. Yeah, now they're begging people to come back. They're begging people to join. COVID vaccine not required in big, bold letters on one recruitment poster shared by Benny Johnson via Twitter.
Well, how about they reach out to the soldiers they processed and say, you know, we did you wrong, and we're going to reinstate you right now and then at the same rank with the same credentials, and we'll take care of you. Because they really hosed a lot of people.
Yeah, it's insane. Well, thanks for standing up for your troops. It's great to hear from you, Cuesta. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for doing the show. I appreciate your service.
Hey, no, thank you. Yeah, we've got so many incredible folks all across this state. It's an honor to get a chance to hear from you. All right, 294-0970. Next up, let's go to Travis in Big Fork. Travis, what's going on?
How you doing?
Hey,
you know,
good.
Listening to the general and just the news, and I don't see what these people think, how that's going to make America better. I mean, we all better be buying books on how to speak Mandarin Chinese if we keep going down this road, because it's like a dream where you're trying to run and it's like you're going through jail. I can't wrap my brain around why these people think what they're doing, especially the left, even in Congress, all the way down to our grade school students. What do they think is going to happen? How do they think America's going to be better because of this?
By appeasing the Chinese, by pushing the woke agenda, what in particular are you most concerned
about?
Well,
you know, like the deal with that Biden's making with Xi Jinping. I read a lot of books on China's 100-year marathon and to be the world power by 2049. They try to appease them thinking that that any communist nation's going to be like us, and they're not raised that way. They don't, they got thousands of years.
It's the empty promises playbook, isn't it? It's the empty promises playbook from the communist Chinese. All right, quick break, back with more calls after this.
Banking doesn't
dumb. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I do think there are many reasons to remain hopeful. There are many reasons to remain optimistic. But first, what Travis and Big Fork had to say there, there's a Federalist.com piece that came out over the weekend that I think sums it up very well. This is a piece by Helen Raleigh. Helen Raleigh has written several books about the communist Chinese, but this was the headline: Biden fell for China's empty promises playbook at the San Francisco summit. I think that captures it very well. It was the empty promises playbook, as they were just pandering to the communist Chinese there. When it comes to the Palestinian flag stunt on the M above the Cat Grizz game, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy weighed in via Twitter here earlier this morning. I'll share that with you here in a second. But real quickly, the reason why I want to say there's many reasons why we need to remain hopeful, why we need to remain optimistic, even in light of all the craziness going on in the world right now, is look at Argentina. Look at what happened in Argentina over the weekend. Argentina had gone full-blown left. They were pushing this transgender ideology. They were coddling up to the communist Chinese, basically becoming like a satellite state for communist China. And I mean, inflation. You think inflation's bad here right now? Well, look at how bad inflation got under the socialist government down in Argentina. Argentina voters just rejected socialism massively over the weekend. The guy who they refer to as the Argentine Donald Trump, Javier Milei, just won big in the elections down in Argentina. So I think that's yet another reason to remain optimistic and hopeful for the future of our country, and that we can turn this around. Back into the phone lines we go. We got Joe in Missoula. Joe, what's on your mind?
Hey, I got to speak with John Lott from the Crime Research .org.
Yeah.
In Missoula.
Yeah.
On KGVO last week.
Yeah, he's
and
great.
My question to him, yeah, I'm sure you should have him on if you haven't. I don't, maybe you have.
I had a few times, but yeah, we should get him on again, yeah, for sure.
Well, the point that I am really interested in is the Senate, because we got to get the Senate back. Mm-hmm. And John Tester, I made a bumper sticker that says impeach Tester because he impeached Trump twice. So it's kind of a tongue in cheek joke, you know, but anyway, what John Lott had to say about the Second Amendment, which is a big part of what he does, is that the senators who voted for people like Ketanji Jackson and the head of the ATF, who is currently doesn't have a lot of respect for our Constitution, and Ketanji Jackson, he said, came right out and said that she doesn't believe we have the right to defend ourselves with a weapon, you know. And so he's made the point that John Tester is anti-Second Amendment. He can say anything he wants in his ads. And I think he's in big trouble, because you've seen the number of ads he's running. He's like unbelievable. But
he was all over the Cat Grizz game. Yeah, there were more John Tester commercials than anything else during the Cat Grizz game. And he's so desperate to make it look like he stood up to China. It's such a joke.
And I put them on license plates from all over the parts of the state, and I had them laying on the ground, and a couple of these kids came up that were real drunk, and they got a little angry, and they started stomping on them. And I thought, go ahead, that's Dad's character to him, no?
Well, just,
bumpers, I mean, license plates are beat up anyway.
It's like but that Carhartt jacket. You got to make it look dirty, even if you're at fancy restaurants in Washington, D.C. all week long. All right. Hey, well Joe, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, John Lott Jr., who is just a tremendous advocate for Second Amendment rights. Yeah, he's called it out precisely. John Tester will pretend to be pro-Second Amendment, but then he votes for all of the judges that will strip away your Second Amendment rights. So, yeah, you guys nailed it. Thanks for calling in. Tim Sheehy, the Navy SEAL veteran, when it comes to the left-wing activist that did the Palestinian flag stunt on the M, Sheehy said this, far-left brainwashed members of the woke mob, a large portion of John Tester's base, tried to turn the brawl of the wild into a pro-Hamas demonstration. It is misguided, disgusting, and must be condemned. We need moral clarity. We must take back our state and our country. Next up on the phone lines, I know we're getting short on time here. We got Jennifer in Whitefish. Jennifer, thanks for the call.
Hi, Aaron. I think we need a dose of encouragement. I just came back from Indianapolis with, I think, about 50 or 60 teenagers from Montana, probably about 22 from the Flathead Valley. We attended the National Catholic Youth Conference in probably 12 or 15,000 awesome, positive, amazing teenagers from across the country got together for a Catholic, Christ-driven, amazing group. I can't tell you how inspired I am, and these are the future, and I know if these kids get out there in leadership roles, we can turn this place around.
That's why we've got to continue to be optimistic. We've got to continue to be hopeful. We know how the story ends, and let's just say we win. We know that's how the story ends. But what, with 30 seconds to go, what impressed you the most with these young people?
They're happy. They're on fire. They want to make a difference. They want to reach out and uplift everyone around them. And it was incredible, Aaron. I can't tell you. I'm on fire.
That's awesome.
In this group.
Yeah. There's many reasons to be hopeful. There are many reasons to be optimistic about this country. Plus, we can't give up. We better not give up. And those kids are yet another reminder of that. All right, Jennifer, thanks for the call. That's a great note to end on for today.